Good morning. Warm welcome to this session of, what do we call ourselves? 20 years and over. Can I just perhaps get an indication of who needs translation? Some Spanish here. Anybody else? Spanish. Anne is here. Otherwise everyone else is fine. Good. Can you all hear all right? I know the fans are quite strong. You want it turned down a bit, or it's okay? You can hear. Okay, good. As long as everyone's comfortable. So yes, good. Welcome to this morning's session. Our topic this morning is exploring trust. I think trust is an interesting topic, isn't it? I found that this year in particular, somehow I've been thinking a lot about trust, especially at the confluence age. Because trust is a little bit like compassion. We don't associate either of these things with the golden age, do we? I think that we require the opposite of this quality before we can really experience it. So it's only really when we're into the copper age that, and we start to experience distrust, that we really start to be aware of the need of trust. And I think as Brahmins we focus a lot on faith and developing faith, which is important for us, faith in the self, faith in Baba, and faith in the Dharma and others. But in my churnings this year, I've been feeling more and more that trust comes before faith. I know I've had some debates about this, not everyone agrees, but I was experiencing how when we first come to Baba, we have very beautiful experiences which automatically develop our, start our faith in Baba. But it's at some point where if we don't learn to really trust Baba, then we don't have the opportunity to allow our faith to increase. For example, when I start to see how Baba practically cares for me, I start to develop trust in Baba. That I trust that Baba will always have my best interest at heart. And then I see the result of that, and I see how Baba literally cares for me. And then out of that, my faith develops. But it's a subtle thing, and I think it's something that we're going to explore more this morning. It's an important topic also because we call ourselves a family. And I think Antonella is going to perhaps share a bit more about that, but we do need to trust each other, but perhaps more importantly, we need to trust ourselves. And my experience is that the more I'm able to trust myself, automatically I'm able to then trust others. All the doubts really stem from the doubts that I have in myself, and then I doubt others, and I perhaps sometimes am even distrusting of others, especially on the service field. But also, I think because we've had a rough ride since the Copper Age, and we've experienced having our trust broken, for that reason also, we are sometimes hesitant to trust. to trust people with our feelings and with the things that are close to our heart. And we could almost say that our journey at the confluence age is a return to trust. Even though when we all go home, we're not actually going to need this quality. But at the confluence age, it's definitely a very important ingredient in our relationship with ourselves, with Baba, and with others. So I'm going to ask Antonella to share a few thoughts with you.
Om Shanti. I was thinking that in the world out there, people, in order to trust, they need to see something good. When you do something good, then you will be trusted by somebody. They acknowledge the quality you've been expressed, and therefore they trust. But within the Brahmin family, it's not like that. That's, you know, Sangam Yoga is such a different dimension. And when we devote our life to Baba, then in spite of expressing goodness, we are trusted in advance, just because we are Baba's child and just because we are meant to be instruments. And therefore I remember an experience I had at the very beginning of Gyan, when I was asked to do a commentary in public, and I've never done it before. So they could not trust that I could do it, because I never done it. They only could trust that I could connect with Baba. And that was the only things I could do. And I remember when they asked me to do the commentary, it was in a very important venue. It was in the Vatican with many religious leaders, including the Dalai Lama and many, many religious people. And I was only, I don't remember, but a few months in Gyan. Absolutely scared. I think that day I didn't eat. I couldn't work. I was only thinking, oh gosh, you know, Baba, help. And that was the only thought all day, and I was rehearsing any possible commentary in the car driving to the appointment. I thought, that time mobile cellular didn't exist. So I think whoever was seeing me in the car, they thought I was talking, I was crazy maybe, because I was talking just to myself, rehearsing a possible commentary. And when I was sitting, you know, waiting my turn, I was absolutely frightened. And I could only think, you know, Baba, you will have to do it. Not just because I didn't know how to do it, but I was very scared. And the sister in charge there at that time, she said, go. And I really now appreciate her trust. But she didn't trust me in a way that she didn't trust my capacity. I didn't have them. She trusted that I could link with Baba. And that's the difference between us and the rest of the world. We trust in terms of we have faith that Baba has chosen us because we can. We can transform ourselves. We can become Bab Saman sooner or later according to our pace, of course, but we can. We are bound to transform ourselves. And so, in fact, the way that we trust each other is not trusting because you are a good something, because actually that's dangerous. We trust that Baba has chosen the right souls to be part of this gathering, and therefore we all can, in one way or another, contribute to God's task. And so I felt that the instrument was absolutely crazy at that point, choosing me to do that task you know, that was my first thought, she might be, you know. But then afterwards, it went very well, actually. Baba did intervene, for sure, because I was... as soon as I sat down and I said, Baba, he did the job. And I immediately relaxed and went on. And afterwards, people was coming up later saying that they felt like crying. It was about God the Father. And so the job was done, but not by me. And so there was a deep satisfaction inside, not because I did it properly, but because I could link with Baba. And so the way we do trust is not because we see each other's qualities. They are there anyway, but because we know. So in fact, it's not trust as such, as people would define trust, but it's wisdom. It's a far-sighted way of looking at each other in the way that Baba sees us, like Baba sees the end result, which is our complete form. And that complete form cannot do something, cannot be something. It's not possible, it's complete. And therefore, we can. And that's the way we want to keep the vision of each other. And thanks to that first experience, and of course repeated from time to time, and that shaped my trust in myself. In fact, I didn't trust myself. I trusted that God would intervene and that I would let go of me doing. And I always said, the least you are capable, the more you are useful. Is it clear? Because if I'm capable of doing something, I will do my way, my bit. But I didn't know not to do a commentary, not to speak in public, not to do anything. I was young and a bit different. And so Baba really taught me everything. He taught me to cook, to use the computer, to speak, everything. So it's nothing that really was part of me. And that's a way of just surrender. And the more somebody has no capacity, I don't know if you remember Daddy the other day was talking about their sister, a sister that was really without many virtues. And then Baba was really enjoying to make her beautiful. It was so nice to hear the story that Baba was making their soul without many, actually nobody wanted her. And he could like rescue in terms of making her beautiful. Why? It was seen, you know, it was seen with another eye. It's the eye of wisdom. And that's an important practice between each other, seeing the end result already present. At the same time, I have another experience of another time, still I was young, and I was given a task to open and deal with Baba's box. A very delicate task. But they didn't tell me how, when, and anything. So I didn't know when to open it, what to do, nothing. They would just give me the key and told me, you know, deal with this. And I didn't know what to do, so eventually I opened it earlier than what they thought it was the time to open it. Just to give you a silly example, but for me it was a very good lesson. And so I opened it much earlier than what I had to. And somehow I did some mistakes, you know, in timing, some mistakes, because I had no information. And so they took away their role from me, without any explanation, without nothing. And I was, you know, wondering what is going on. And I had to really face my self-trust, because if you are given something to do and suddenly it's taken away from you, it can be very painful, because your self-esteem is going to shake a little bit. And that was the test. you know, how would I believe and trust myself that I was worthy anyway, even though a task was taken away? And interesting enough, later on, I became the treasurer nationally. But for that length of time, it was like that. And so the lesson I've learned was, if ever I give a task to somebody, communication, a clear communication is so important, because that is also part of the trust issue or the trust deal. Because if I don't communicate and people do mistake, it's not their fault. And so it's part of trusting somebody, also providing, you know, the amount of information that they might need to accomplish the task. And also another lesson that I've learned is that it doesn't matter if the other person is doing a mistake, because a mistake, who is not doing a mistake every day? We do a mistake every day, don't we? But that's part of the learning process. And so if I see somebody doing a mistake and I trust them anyway, because maybe they didn't have enough information, maybe they wasn't feeling good so they couldn't connect with Baba properly at the time, it doesn't matter. And this becomes an act of charity. Trusting each other is an act of charity, because what's the best way of helping each other to believe in the self, to trust also in drama? So just few lessons that we learn during the way. Anyway, I give back to Belinda for some questions.
Just one lovely example that Daddy gave was how Daddy has so much trust in Gentiben. And the reason that she developed that trust in Gentiben, because she saw how much trust Gentiben had in Baba. And she said, if Daddy didn't have that trust in Gentiben, she wouldn't be who she is today. So it's very beautiful. So such an example for us, that when we see how each of Baba's children has so much trust in Baba, then why can we not trust them? We've come up with three questions, which we're going to now discuss in small groups. But just before we start that, the aim of this morning is to come up with some questions on this topic of trust, and we're hoping that we'll get a senior here to take up these questions of trust. So what we'd like to do, first of all, we'll take one question at a time, because we don't have a PowerPoint or a flip chart here. But just to take 5 minutes on your own initially, just to reflect on the first question. And after 5 minutes, we'll give you a signal. And then just to come together in groups of three or four, not more than four, but three or four, and have a discussion around the question. And then with each question that you discuss, if the groups could come up with preferably two questions, but if it's only one, that's also fine, and if it's three, that's fine too, that we will then be able to take to the seniors. Is that okay? So our first question for reflection, just to sit quietly on your own initially. What is trust for you? Or what does trust mean to you? What is the difference between belief, trust, and faith? So what is trust for you? What is the difference between belief, trust and faith. So let's take a few moments just to reflect quietly. Okay. So now just amongst yourselves, just find perhaps another two or maximum three people, and perhaps try to mix a bit, people that you don't know. And we have about 7 minutes just to share amongst ourselves on this question. Om Shanti. Are you ready? No. 1 more minute? 2 more minutes. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Is that okay? Okay, 2 more minutes. So on to question number 2. In fact, we're going to combine question number 2 and question number 3 so that you can really, we won't interrupt you again. Okay, they are connected to each other. So question number 2, recall a time in your life when someone trusted you or you trusted someone. What were your feelings and what was the basis of your trust? I'll repeat. Recall a time in your life when someone trusted you or you trusted someone. What were your feelings and what was the basis of your trust? Third question. Are you ready? Recall a time in your life when you lacked trust in yourself or in someone. Recall a time in your life when you lacked trust in yourself or in someone. What were the feelings behind the distrust? What were the feelings behind the distrust? How did you or how could you heal from this experience? So if you did heal, how did you heal? And if you haven't healed, how could you heal from this experience? How did you heal? Or if you haven't healed, how could you heal from this experience? So spend a little time in silence initially, thinking about the question, and then we'll give you a signal and you can continue your discussion, remembering to formulate some questions. Let's keep the silence for a few moments and then we can share. One of the seniors who will take these up as a class. Okay. Tomorrow, hopefully. So, 2 more minutes.
So, your question can be written on a slip of paper, and tomorrow morning they will be taken by a senior. And now you can share your thoughts, insight, experiences, or whatever you came up with in your group. You can come and take the mic because otherwise we won't hear properly. Yeah, some group didn't finish yet? Not yet? How much longer do you need? Sorry? Yeah, it will be good to have some questions around the topic. How many? 1 or 2? 4? Not too many, but meaningful question that a senior can relate to tomorrow or whenever. So, any sharing? Spanish group still in process? Oh, sure. You're welcome. So before they're taking us away too, who would like to share? Then we finish about in 10, 15 minutes. So how did you define trust? How do you, differentiated between trust and faith? So some sharing. Yeah, whatever. Can you take the mic?
Om Shanti, I'm Cherry from UK. And we had such a nice sharing, and I'm not quite answering Antonella's question, but it's certainly around trust. We were remembering we have to come up with a question, and there was two stories were shared, and from those stories came a nice question. So I like to just share the question first, and how we came to it. We formulated this question for seniors. What factors do you use to determine effective trust in others? So how we came up with that question, the two sisters each shared a story. One was in which a senior gave trust to her to run a class and then sort of suppressed some of the way she was doing it and said, now do it this way. If I could say, is that in short? And she was feeling that maybe that senior could have not so quickly pulled away the creativity, you know, that maybe the trust was given in a certain way that didn't have all the necessary factors. And then the other, remember your story. Just trigger me. Trust. Oh, yeah. The other sister was sharing, she gives trust to one person in her center, but then was finding, he's not quite trustworthy and not quite honest about what he's doing. And so she was feeling uncomfortable that she was trusting him and perhaps it was affecting some service results. And so she has to look at, and she had to adapt the way she was trusting and found some mechanisms to trust still that person in service without jeopardizing Baba's service. So this question came up that there are factors in terms of trusting people effectively that we have to keep in mind. And so I thought that was useful to share with you all.
Thank you, very valuable. So we got the question, right? Thank you, Sherry. Somebody else? We got a few more minutes. Yes, come. And somebody from the Spanish group also after, right?
Yeah. Om Shanti and Shanta from Sri Lanka. I was just sharing with them. When Daddyji came to Sri Lanka, while coming to the airport, I was asked to drive with so many drivers and males, you know, young brothers. And it was really a trust from, you know, just it's a 1 hour drive. So it's really a, you know, instrument trust and to trust me and Baba. You know, Baba also has chosen me as a driver with all the drivers. This was really it's a memorable thing for me. I can never forget in my life.
So now you become a good driver. Thank you.
And you know, in that car, Didi in front seat, Muni Ben, Daddy Prakashmani, and Mohini Ben. So when
wow.
She sees me, always she remembers me.
Nothing good ever happened.
I can never forget in my life.
With such passengers. Thank you. One more sharing? Yeah, each group. Belinda is suggesting each group could share something.
Om Shanti. I'm Tay from Malaysia. the three of us felt there is a lot of similarity of trust, belief and faith. So we were wondering which comes first. And then when we had the second question, we found that faith comes first. And we are all in a circle and going backwards. So, but anyway, we went on to the third question, that when we have trust, and then we had the feeling of distrust, we had such a painful feeling and that disappointment. And we would like to know, why does it take so long to heal completely? What is the basis of that feeling to do it completely?
Did you write it in your question?
Yes.
Because we are hoping tomorrow morning to get Denise then. She will be very good in dealing with these kind of questions. Hopefully. Okay, Anna is suggesting somebody incognitively.
Om Shanti, Rita Ben from Mexico. In our group there is one soul from Guatemala, one from Argentina and one from Brazil. And it's about the third question. New cooperative souls we trust are given tasks, and then another authoritarian soul intervenes, scolding them down and breaking their trust. What to do? Because these new cooperative souls are so full of love and enthusiasm, and then the first time they have to do something, maybe they don't know exactly how to do it, but they put everything to do whatever
they do
task
it with love.
Yes, and someone of the other soul intervenes. And
do you by chance have any story that could respond to this in your experiences? Because you might have an experience that can respond. Do you? Sherry, they look at you, I don't know why. Trish? Okay.
It came up after the Culture of Care workshop, which some of you were in, that souls should be allowed to make mistakes. So, because we all, I mean, I personally have learned so much from my own mistakes, and then sometimes we don't allow souls the space to learn from their own mistakes, which is perhaps one of the most valuable ways of learning. And we try to hold on too tightly and control situation. So it is a question of trust.
And also widen our view, because sometimes a cooperative soul is not considered to be, you know, just a cooperative soul. Sometimes we have a funny discrimination mood. So, because it's just a cooperative soul, so we might not give them enough space to express and maybe do wonders. I lately have this experience of somebody very new in Gyan, only a few months, that came along and said, "Can I do a newsletter?" And all of us say, well, you know, not really knowing what was the outcome. And then somehow we said, yes. Oh, we really needed a newsletter saying, Baba, you know, take care of whatever. and she put so much love in it and so much care. She even hired somebody, paying a technician, to do it properly on a technical level. And the result was beautiful. But there was trust that she could do it, and she was at that level only a cooperative soul. But through this, she became closer and closer and closer, and she became a very, you know, close Brahmin. She's a very Paka Brahmin today, And not just the Baka Brahmin, she's given so much to Baba, you can't believe it. And everything, I think, started with just feeling trusted. That we did trust an expression of love, of cooperating, doing something for Baba. Because in fact, it's not our job, you know. This is God's task. And everybody can do the bit, and all the bits together is the final beautiful puzzle. So the last sharing, and then we go for lunch. Some brothers, we only have a few brothers here, as usual. Chris, you mean the special Chris?
Om Shanti. Okay, the trust that we have discussed is usually trust is something that you believe on people, that you trust that person that he can do it, that they are cooperative with us, that they believe themselves to do and they are able to do. And another thing, that the 3 points, that the trust, belief and faith, right? Usually belief is something that we believe on people, that we, not others, that we believe. So the faith would be together with the group, that many of them have that trust and belief, and the belief is there. So there's the faith that each and everyone, that we have the faith that that person can do, able to do the thing. Then there's the faith. And trust would be that we just leave it to him, each person, each soul, that they can do it or not. So it's a belief is something that we, so faith is something that a group of us, that we have the faith that that person is able to do. And the trust is that we just, it's maybe 50-50, we trust the person. So this is how, okay? I'm Shanti.
Thank you.
So you want any question that you said? Question from our... Okay. This is the question that we have done. Faith, trust and belief have their meaning and sounds interrelated, but there is the fine line of differences. So we want that to be explained
properly.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you. So the last one? No, last one. What was Valerian's group? You know, the old... Some of you. Chris, come.
Shanti. Just one interesting point that came up in our discussion was we were talking about how over time trust increases in others and in ourselves, and how it comes when we understand the soul and we understand the sanskars. And it's not about having trust in their sanskar, it's about knowing what they're like, but aside from that sanskar, the soul is originally pure and the soul is originally everything that we learn about. And so their intention to transform is also there. So we don't trust their impure sanskar, but we trust the soul. So one person was saying how we leave that aside and we trust them in a different way. And I think it's a little bit like what this sister was saying, you know, about how we trust them according to something else about them, you know. So it was more about having an unlimited vision on them and keeping a positive vision overall on the soul.
Thank you. Did you have some question? No? Okay. No question. Good.
What Chris has just shared reminded me of something that Jainti Ben once shared with me. She said that in Gyan, if we are not able to trust someone, that it actually indicates lack of trust in the self. That's a very interesting lesson.
Okay, La will be the last.
Om Shanti. I just want to have a question. Do you have any question, seeing that is everywhere? And the discussion in our group is just like, we cannot find anybody, for me, my world, that have so much trust in us. And that is vision, is just uplifting and make us feel that no matter what she is and how she is and whether in the body or not, but whenever we look at her picture, we always be reminded how much she has trust in us, in our growth, in our same aim that we have to reach to the point where no one can really have fear in us, or we have fear in them. Because, you know, since that is alive in our lives, we've been in Gyan for a long time, but we never, for me myself, never have any fear in facing her. And now, facing her picture, and have that much trust in myself and her elevation.